The Lord is risen. The Lord is truly risen. Let us rejoice and be glad. Alleluia. As was announced last Sunday, after Mass today, there's going to be a gathering for young men, or maybe not so young men, who want to talk about the possibility of being priests. So if that is of interest to you, meet kind of in this part of the church at the end of Mass, and somebody will lead you to the room where we're going to have this pizza gathering and some discussion. You know, a vocation is a gift from God, so the purpose of this gathering isn't to talk anybody into being a priest. It's not appropriate to ever try to do that. You know, the only reason for these gatherings is to provide an occasion for people to reflect on their own life to see if there is a call from God that they've experienced somewhere, you know, and opening themselves up to the possibility of hearing that call. But we can't give a vocation to anyone else, right? God is the one who gives vocations. But I would encourage you, if you think that might be a possibility for yourself, even if you'd be afraid of it, to come to this gathering and we can talk about those kind of things. I have a very good friend, a few years older than I am, a priest who is now in a place called Victoria, Kansas. And he tells a story about an experience he had when he was a pastor. You know, he had a Catholic school in his parish, and in Catholic schools, they often have what are called career days, where the kids are invited to think about what they might want to do with their lives. And one of the questions that was asked, as is always asked at these career days, is the question, what are you going to be when you grow up? And so when the priest asked this question of the kids, some said, well, I want to do this. I want to be a fireman, or I want to be a teacher. Another one says, well, I want to be married. Another one says, I want to be a lawyer. And at the end of the discussion, one of the little kids turned to the priest and said, and Father, what do you want to be when you grow up? And he used that story as an introduction to today's reflection on the resurrection. What do we want to be when we grow up? The answer to that is part of the Catholic tradition, that after we die, the Lord has in store for us the gift of eternal life. And that should be what we want to be when we grow up. So I'd like to talk a little bit about what the Church knows about eternal life, the gift that God wants to give us. There is a passage from the letters of St. Paul that goes this way. If we have died with Christ, we will also rise with him. If we have been united with him by likeness to his death, so shall we be united with him by likeness to his resurrection. And so the resurrection that is in store for us after our death is like the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which we've been hearing about in the gospel readings for the last Sundays since Easter. What was Jesus like? Well, one thing that we can notice, or we should notice, that there is a distinction between Jesus' resurrection and the resurrection of those Jesus raised from the dead in the Gospels. You might remember the stories, the story of the raising of Lazarus from the dead, one of Jesus' good friends, or the raising of the daughter of Jairus, who was one of the Roman leaders, no, a synagogue leader, or the raising from the dead of the son of the widow of Nain. So there's three incidents in the Gospels where Jesus raises someone from the dead. But we know, since they're not hanging around anymore, that Lazarus and that young girl and the son of the widow all died again. So what Jesus did was resuscitate them, bring them back to this life. But when we look at Jesus risen from the dead in the gospel stories of the resurrection, we see two things. First of all, it really was Jesus. That's what today's gospel is all about. People weren't sure. And what did Jesus say? Touch me. I'm not a ghost. He told them to look and touch the wounds in his hands and the wound in his side and the wounds of his feet. And then he even ate a piece of baked fish to demonstrate the fact that this really was Jesus, and he was risen from the dead. It wasn't a ghost. It was Jesus bodily raised from the dead. So there's a certain physicality about the resurrection that's very clear from the scriptures. But having said that, this same Jesus was different than he was before. You might remember the story of Mary Magdalene, who went to the tomb on Easter Sunday morning. Jesus appeared to her, but when she saw him, she thought it was the gardener. He didn't know it was Jesus until Jesus called her by name. And in that experience of being called by name, she recognized Jesus as her Lord. We had the story of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. They were walking along, expressing their sorrow that their hopes had been dashed and that this man who they had hoped was the Messiah had been crucified. And the scriptures tell us that Jesus walked along with them, but they didn't recognize him until at the end of the day he broke bread, which is a symbol of the Eucharist, and in the breaking of bread they recognized that the man who walked with them was Jesus, who was risen from the dead. Then we see the experience of all the apostles, really. They never seemed to be sure when they first saw Jesus that it was really him, you know. He walked through the door rather than opening it up. He seemed not to be controlled by the usual controls that we have. He wasn't limited by space or time. But nonetheless, this Jesus, who was very different, was truly raised physically from the dead. Now, with all that in mind, I'd like to read this passage from St. Paul again. Listen to it. If we have died with Christ, we will also rise with him. If we have been united with him by likeness to his death, you know, we're going to die like he died, so shall we be united with him by likeness to his resurrection. So after our death and the resurrection of our bodies, we're going to have bodies like Jesus in today's gospel story. Truly who we are, truly physical, but different. We'll have what is referred to by the scriptures as spiritual bodies, different than the ones we have now. We call it transformation. Transfiguration of who we are. We struggle with language to really understand it and express it. But our future glory is the glory that we see shown in the resurrection of Jesus. And it's very important that we think about this and that we teach this to our children, because the early martyrs of the church were willing to die because of their conviction that Jesus had won for them the gift of this kind of eternal life. So I'd like you to think for a moment now, just to think about what it's going to be like when you have your risen body. Now, I'm 73 and a half years old now with a very bad knee. I can't wait for that to be over with, you know. Not being replaced by the surgeon, although that's going to have to happen. But I'd like to have a body that really worked better than the one that I have now. It'd be wonderful not be limited by space and time. That's what eternity means, right? We're entering into eternal life. Eternity isn't a long, 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 long time. It's a different time. You know, we say God exists in eternity. That doesn't mean he's up there. It means that he's outside of our ordinary experience of time and space. Time and space is about this world and not about the eternal life that's been promised to us by God. It's a promise and a gift that God wants to give us. So, I hope that motivates us to try to live our lives in a way worthy of the resurrection, to treat our bodies appropriately, you know, chastely and purely and physically healthy, and not to abuse our body or the bodies of other people, you know, drugs or anger and fighting and all those kind of things. That's not appropriate for people who respect the bodiliness of what it means to be a human being, to be a Christian. The church has a huge respect for the human body because we believe in the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. Amen. Right? So, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to have eternal life. And I hope you do too. Now, at the end of our gospel today, Jesus said something to his apostles that's very, very important. He says to them, "You are witnesses of these things." Now, after the resurrection, after Jesus died and rose from the dead, he came back to us. And that's a marvelous part of the resurrection. He not only rose from the dead, but he came back to us, those of us who had led lives that led to his death on the cross. I don't know if you paid attention to the first reading, but one of the characteristics of the preaching of St. Peter in those early sermons from the Acts of the Apostles is he was trying to convince the people who listened to him that they were the cause of Jesus' death, not just the leaders of the Jews, not just Pontius Pilate and the Roman soldiers, but everyone who had sinned. Listen to what he says. "The God of our fathers has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and you denied in Pilate's presence. You denied the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer take his place. You did this. You put to death. But God raised him from the dead. Of this we are witnesses." So an important part of being a Christian is to be a witness. Now, one of the complaints bishops, at least, sometimes hear about the church, and that means all of us, I guess, because we're the church, right, is that we talk too much. We don't listen enough. You often hear that from people who don't believe what the church teaches. You know, they say, the church just talks too much. You ought to listen. And what they mean is you ought to do what I want you to do. You know, so when we say we want you to listen, that's generally what we mean. But I think the opposite is really true. We don't talk enough. When's the last time you witnessed to Jesus Christ? You know, at the beginning of Mass during the Easter season, I have this custom of saying, "The Lord is risen," expecting you to say, "The Lord is truly risen," or "The Lord is risen indeed." Because that was what they did in the early church. They believed this to be true, and they witnessed it to one another. And then having been strengthened by that witness to one another, they were willing to witness the resurrection of Jesus to the world that was yet unbelieving. That's what Jesus asked us to do. He rose from the dead, he sought us out, and then he commissioned us to preach the resurrection. I think last week I probably said this. I don't remember where I say things. You know, I do so much talking. You know, I'm one of those ones that does talk too much probably, but not the church. That Bishop Robert Barron said the church doesn't have a mission. The church is a mission. You know, it's much more than one of the things we do. The mission is what? To preach Jesus risen from the dead. And we don't do that unless we experience it, unless we believe it's true, unless we have confidence in what the creed tells us, that we will rise from the dead and share the gift of eternal, everlasting life. So we ask the Lord to give us faith in his resurrection and in ours, that we will rejoice in that gift and we will witness that gift to other people by the way we live our lives, but also by what we say. The Lord is risen. He is truly risen. Let us rejoice and be glad. Alleluia.